Welcome to the Shir and Sfarno, Parshios Acharei Mos Kedoshim. Perek Yudches in Parshios Acharei Mos begins describing the prohibited relationships, the Isuri Erva. And the Sfarno has a little bit of a longer piece at the beginning of Perek Yudches where he helps us understand the Torah's prohibition against incest. A lot of the prohibited relationships that are described in Perek Yudches are incestuous relationships. A person has a relationship with someone who's already a member of the family. It's interesting to note, just as an aside, that to the best of my knowledge, every culture in the world refrains from incest on some levels. There may be different definitions of what's called incest, but the notion that you don't enter into an intimate relationship with someone who's already a biological family member is a concept that apparently is universal to all cultures in the world, a very, very deep-seated understanding that there's something wrong about that. Okay, but what's wrong about it? So the Sfarno has an interesting discussion where he lays out why, indeed, this is something which is prohibited. So he writes as follows. He now toledes ha-hove mishe'er basar. Bios oz ha-poel v'ha-mispoel krovim b'mezeg, roi shetiyah yoser ha-guna u'mimuzeges. The truth is, says the Sfarno, if you think about it, on a certain level, it makes sense that people who come from the same family, who come from the same biological family, would make more sense for them to come together as an intimate. Hapoel v'hamispoel, the active partner and the passive partner in the relationship, are krovim b'mezeg. They're similar to one another in mezeg. Mezeg translates roughly as temperament, as makeup. You know, in other words, they're very similar to one another. You would think the fact that they're so similar to one another would make for a better, perhaps a more harmonious marriage, and perhaps a marriage that has many other positive elements to it. And he says it's not a strange or foreign concept. Kemo shekara b'toledes Moshe Aaron u'Miriam me'Amram v'Yocheved Odoso. Let's take a look at one of the most famous families in Jewish history, the marriage of Amram and Yocheved. They definitely had really successful children. Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron HaKohen, Miriam HaNeviah, you know, I mean, that's a lot of nachas packed into three people. And what was the relationship between the parents, between Amram and Yocheved? So Yocheved was the aunt of Amram, as laid out in the Chumash itself. She was Bas Levi. She was the daughter of Levi himself. So the irony is the relationship between Amram and Yocheved was prohibited after Matan Torah. It was deemed an incestuous relationship. And yet that relationship that ultimately would become labeled as an incestuous relationship produced three of the greatest leaders in Jewish history. So, you know, on a certain level, so why is that? Is that ironic? So says the Sfarno, no, it's not so ironic. The truth is, you know, Amram and Yocheved both coming from the same family, this great family of Levi, in many ways were able to come together and produce extraordinary children. We even find an example of this in Chazal, when Chazal describe a relationship which is not incestuous, which is not prohibited by Torah law, but nonetheless is a sort of blurring of the lines between marriage and biological family. The Gemara says that it would be a very good thing for a person to seek to marry his niece. It's a good thing to marry your niece, says the Gemara. Mitzvah lisa bas achoso. So, again, al pi halacha, that's not considered to be a prohibited relationship, but why is it a mitzvah to marry your niece? I think the pashut of pshat is, you know, you know, marriage for much of history was not probably about love. Marriage, primarily for most of history, was a way of protecting somebody, of giving somebody security. So, you know, if you want to help out someone who's already a member of the family, your niece, Ma tovu ma noim, isn't that wonderful? You're doing a toiva for somebody in the family itself. The pasuk says in Yeshaya, Mipsarcha lo sisalen, you have to, you know, show chesed and staka to people who are already a part of the biological family. But the Sfarno seems to be saying something different beyond that. The Sfarno is saying, forget about the fact that you're providing security and protection to your niece. You and your niece are naturally good as a couple together. You come from the same basic family. You share the same mezeg, the same temperament, the same values, the same makeup. So it's a natural shidduch. It makes sense that you should look to marry your niece. V'zeh yitztak, kasher yi apoel v'hamispol mechavnim lehofik ritzon konom bilvod. However, there's one catch, there's one caveat, says the Sfarno. A marital relationship between two people who are part of the same biological family is successful. The parties concerned are getting married without really thinking about the more physical aspects of marriage. Their focus is lahafik ritzon konam bilvod, in order to bring about the desire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone. In other words, they enter into marriage with a totally altruistic attitude. They're not thinking at all about their own self-serving pleasure in the course of marriage. Everything is focused on, we're getting married in order to do the Ratzon Hashem, the desire of Hashem. Efes, ki zeh yikra al hama'at. However, we have to admit, says the Sfarno, that it's the rare couple who get married for totally altruistic reasons and without any thought of the physical pleasure that they will derive from the union. Ki omnom mashiyikre b'chol haminho enoshi o birubo bozeh. Most, or maybe all people, when they engage in a marital relationship, hu shiyu mechavnim l'tanug bilvod. Most people, when they get married, their primary, or maybe even their sole focus, is about the physical pleasure that they will derive from the act of marriage. Ke omro, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, Nun Aleph, Heim ba'avon cholalti uvecheit yechemasni imi. I was brought into the world through sin, says David HaMelech. Now what do you mean you were brought into the world through sin? You were brought into the world through intercourse between your mother and your father. Well, that's not sinful. There's nothing wrong with that. So what the Sfarno is saying is pshat in the pasuk in Tehillim is as follows. Fundamentally, there's nothing wrong about the intimacy between a husband and wife. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah pru urvu. But when the focus is on the physical pleasure, so then the pasuk in Tehillim even calls it something sinful. Again, I don't know if you'd call it mamish, but in other words, it's something which is not the ultimate altruistic way of entering into a marriage. So that's what the pasuk says, Hein ba'avon cholalti, I was formed. I was created through sin, meaning through a relationship which was not focused on the altruistic, but rather on the satisfaction of material and physical desires. What's that? Right, and Achinami. So I think the way the Sfarno at least is interpreting the pasuk is David HaMelech maybe not speaking about his own personal experience, but he's saying I was brought about through a process that in the hands of many people is focused on the physical, you know, not focused so much on the spiritual. Maybe that wasn't true of Yishai, okay? Maybe that wasn't true of Yishai. But, you know, in general terms, this is a process that is more, you know, for most people is more of a physically oriented process. So going back to incest, uvios she'er habasar muchon ma'od. Now, when it comes to someone who's a close family member, that person is around a lot more than people from outside of the family. And because that person is around, so a person will be more likely to be thinking about that person. A person will be more likely to be focused on the pleasure that they derive from that person. Hine kasher yiyu choshvim shneyem shechiburam bilti osur. If incest were not to be prohibited, so an incestuous relationship by almost naturally would have more of a heavily physical dimension to it. So therefore, yirbe hahirhur, there would be a lot of mental focus on the physical. V'achibur b'neim l'tanug bilvod. And the intimacy that they would have together would be something focused on their physical pleasure, not on the more altruistic idea of a husband and wife coming together. Uvechein yiznu, so they will treat one another in a promiscuous fashion. Velo yifrotzu, their intent will not be primarily about bringing children into the world, which is a primary focus of marriage. Umala ha'aretz zima. And the land, to quote a pasuk, the land will be filled up with this inappropriate focus on the physical aspects of marriage as opposed to the altruistic. So again, let's just summarize what the Sfarno was saying here. A very, very interesting take on why it is that the Torah prohibits incestuous relationships. The Sfarno argues that on the one hand, when people are altruistic, the incestuous relationship or the near incestuous relationship, again taking the example of the man marrying his niece, which is not usur according to Torah law, in fact is encouraged according to the Gemara, but again is still, you know, family marrying family. When people are altruistic, the inter-family relationship can actually rise heights, witness Amram and Yocheved. But most of the time, says the Sfarno, the nature of the fact that the husband and wife in an incestuous relationship already have a long-standing relationship with one another because they're family, it's much more likely for an incestuous relationship to become about the physical aspects and to lose sight of the altruistic aspects of marriage. Therefore, the Torah prohibits incestuous relationships. So that's a reminder to all of us that what marriage ultimately is supposed to be about is a focus on the altruistic and the spiritual, and not to allow marriage to simply become a focus on fulfilling one's own physical desires and gaining pleasure alone. You know, so there was, most of us think, I don't know that the average person walks around thinking a lot about the various arayos, you know, but The prohibitions against arayos, according to the Sfarno, teach us something very, very important about marriage itself. Marriage itself is supposed to be focused on the altruistic ideas of marriage. Yes, obviously there's a physical component. Obviously there's a pleasurable component. But the focus shouldn't be on that. When the fact that incestuous relationships are prohibited is a reminder that, you know, the physical and the self-pleasuring aspects of marriage are supposed to be downplayed. Instead, one is supposed to focus on the altruistic aspects of that marriage. So he writes, "Uvechein asra Torah b'sher basar kol yotze yerech." So that's the Torah prohibits ascendants and those who are on the same level in terms of their relationship. If we keep reading a little bit in the discussion of the arayos. So, the Torah in Perek Yud Ches, starting with Pasuk Vav, lays out the various prohibition of the arayos. It lists off all of the different prohibited relationships. And then in Chof Aleph, we encounter a pasuk that just really seems to be out of place in this whole discussion. We've just finished talking about the prohibition against adultery. Pasuk Chaf, V'yaleishas amischal lo siten shchavtuchal lezara letamava. You shouldn't have a relationship with your friend's wife, okay? And then all of a sudden, umizarachal lo siten lahalech. You should not give over from your children to molech, to an idolatrous deity. This is a machlokas among the Rishonim. What did it mean to give one's child over to Molech? Is that child sacrificed, killed in the process of giving the child over to Molech? Or no, the child wasn't killed. The child was caused to walk through two pillars of fire in a strange and bizarre kind of ceremony, which the Torah says is a capital offense. You know, it's a terrible, terrible thing to do, but didn't necessarily involve the sacrifice of the child himself. Okay, whatever it was, you know, you're not supposed to give over your child to Molech. Okay. No argument on that score. But what's that got to do with the arayos? What does that have to do with the prohibited relationships? Mizarach ha'lasitim ha'avir la'molech, v'lo sechal ha'shem elokecha, ani Hashem. don't give over your child to Molech, don't desecrate the name of your God. And then, without missing a beat, we jump back in to the Arayos. V'ezachal asishkav mishke ve'isha, you're not allowed to have an intimate relationship with another man. U'vechol behemo lo siten shechav duchol atamava, you're not allowed to have an intimate relationship with an animal. So where does Molech fit into this whole discussion? Again, no one's questioning that there's an issur to give over your child to Molech, but it seems not relevant to the context what we're talking about over here. So the Sfarno writes as follows: Ki omnom behakrivcha lakel yisporach she'or balichayim v'la Molech takrivus habein hine yeroe mizeh. The Svara, first of all, is an interesting take on the Pasuk. He says, the Pasuk is assuming that you're worshipping HaKadosh Baruch Hu by bringing him korbanos. Right? Ordinarily, if I just read the Pasuk about, you know, not bringing your child to Molech, I would think, okay, the guy has no relationship with serving Hashem. He's only focused on serving the Molech. I understand why that's a terrible thing. But the Sfarno assumes we're talking about somebody who otherwise serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, it's a little bit foreign to us because we don't have the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. But we know that Chazal tell us that during the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, people had this real unquenchable desire for Avodah Zarah, something we don't really understand. And that desire to worship Avodah Zarah went hand in hand with one's worship of Hashem. So in other words, it wasn't a contradiction to many of the people living during the Bayis Rishon period to offer up korbanos at the Beis HaMikdash, but at the same time, offer up korbanos to Avodah Zarah. So Sfarno says, we're assuming that we're talking about a person who brings various animals as korbanos to Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, and also brings his son to Molech. So besides the fact that inherently it's bad to acknowledge the Molech in any way, obviously, but the fact that you are only bringing animals to Hashem, but your most prized possession, your child, you somehow bring to Molech. Again, the Sfarno seems to be assuming, like those Rishonim who say, that the child was actually to bring to Molech. Besides all of the other reasons that that's horrific, it also shows that you're placing the Molech on a higher level than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's terrible. So, okay, so what is that? Okay, good, it's terrible. So what does that have to do with the arayos? So he says, "Umipnei shediber al ha'arayos lahachshir hazera, shiyeh roi lachul alav shmo hagadol." Part of the discussion about arayos, about prohibited relationships, is about trying to produce children who are on the highest spiritual level possible. It's important to realize, says the Sfarno, that the child isn't born in a vacuum. The child obviously is a product of his parents, but not just a product of his parents in a physical sense. The child is a product of his parents in a spiritual sense, and the type of union that his parents have will impact on the child. So if the parents have a union which is focused on the spiritual, the child is going to be spiritual. If the parents have a union which is focused on the physical, the child is not going to be as steeped in spiritual things. You know, the parents have this opportunity to influence the child through their very union. So much of the prohibitions against arayos, prohibited relationships, are not just about the man and the woman involved, but they're about trying to optimize, to make the child on the highest spiritual level that's possible. Oh, so once we're talking about arayos and that impact that it has on the child, diber al hamolech, it makes sense then to talk about molech. It's not a digression. It's really part of the same thing. Shahayu ovdov chosh v'mahachshir b'avodoso, as Sha'or Hazera El Hatzlochos. What was the rationale of somebody who was worshipping Molech? I mean, what would possess you? What would possess any parent to offer up their child as a sacrifice, you know, to Molech? What would make you want to do that? So he says the impetus for a parent to offer up their child to Molech was the belief that we'll sacrifice this child, and that's going to make the other surviving children that much greater. So again, it's a kind of horrific calculus on the part of the parent. But the parent thinks to himself, it's worth it. I'll give up one child and I'll, you know, the remaining children will be that much greater as a result. Again, obviously that's wrong, right? Obviously it's wrong on many, 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 many levels. But, you know, that was the thought process that they had. So comes the Torah and it says, you want to make your children great by sacrificing one child to Molech? You are so misguided. The way to make your children great is to invest your union with spirituality. And the way you invest your union, your marital union with spirituality, is to stay away from the arayos, both the actual arayos, but also all of the hashkafos that are associated with the arayos. You know, we're not focused on pleasure, we're not focused on the physical, we're focused on, you know, trying to bring spirituality into the world through this relationship. So that's how Molech comes in to this...